Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Before we go on with the interview for this week, well, I invite you to go and grab something for free called How to Use Podcasting as a Marketing Weapon. So you might have an idea of wanting to start a podcast, you might have one, or you're just at the phase of thinking about it still. Well, if you want to be convinced, just go at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/free-ebook and get it for free. How to Use Podcasting as a Marketing Weapon. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 235.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Lucky week, because my guest this week is Sue Rice, and she's an email marketing queen. And the way she sees email marketing, well, it's very different from other people, and you'll understand why if you listen to this whole interview. It will totally make sense to you what she says, of course, and everything that you thought was a little bit confusing about email marketing, she will answer. So stay there, listen to all of it, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Sue Rice on the show, and she's nicknamed the female David Ogilvy. She's a professional copywriter, longtime strategic and communications expert. She's an author, international speaker, and seven-figure entrepreneur. She's a veteran student of marketing both on and offline, and is well known for her legendary writing and presentation skills, out-of-the-box thinking, and cutting-edge consumer insights work. So she's the president and founder of Slice International. She has built a world-class boutique agency that handles both content and email marketing for her clients. So Sue, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Oh,
thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
So I'm curious to know first, and I'm sure a lot of people are, where did your passion for communication come from? Because I'm sure that everybody could feel the energy in your voice and the charisma. So tell us, where does that come from?
Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure I have a straightforward answer for it. But one thing I will say is that, you know, people always say, you know, follow your passions and all of that. And I think I would just make a slight kind of shift to that sort of popular comment, which is, I think what is important in life is to follow what comes easy. What mm-hmm. I have two young daughters, and I say to them, you know, do what makes you go down river versus going up river, right? And for me, what was always the easiest for me was anything having to do with the written word or the spoken word. Mm-hmm. You know, communications was always something that came really, really easy. I mean, I can remember as if it was yesterday mm-hmm. when I first understood that putting those letters together created words, and I still think it's pure magic. So I feel like, and it's just something that I can't, it just comes really, really, really easy. I know a lot of people just tear their hair out when they get in front of a computer and they see an empty screen. But for me, it's just something that comes so easy and I love so much. So I hope it's a bit of a long-winded response, but the sort of the point that I would like to make is that the things that come easy to you are probably the areas you should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. If it feels hard and you're walking up a mountain every morning, maybe you need to shift and think about, what is it that I do that's easy for me and that people come to me for, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Ask for help on.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the moral of the story on that one.
Since you were talking about how you loved everything that has to do with writing and communicating, right? Do you think or do you feel that it's crucial for anybody that wants to have a successful online business to at least learn a little bit about the writing techniques or the copywriting elements in order to be better at writing, be better at hiring people they work with?
Yeah, I think it's good to have, I actually think it's, as entrepreneurs or small businesses, it's important. You don't have to necessarily do everything. You don't necessarily have to write everything, but you certainly need to know, be able to recognize what's good and what's bad. And that's also, that's not just writing, but also graphic design or, you know, any kind of communications that you're doing. I think it's important that you at least can recognize what's good and what's bad. And that requires probably a little bit of a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that people do wrong about their email marketing. And I know you have a lot of experience in this area. So tell me what you found is the biggest mistake that people do and how they should correct it.
Well, I mean, I think to look at the biggest mistakes, all you need to do is go into your inbox and open up pretty much any email. because that's not totally true. There are some people out there who are totally doing amazing, amazing work. But most emails prout, and they don't try to establish a relationship. And it's just, you know, it's like the old story. You know, you don't go to a party and come up to someone and say, you know, you don't say, oh, hi, my name is Sue. I want you to buy something from me, which is what a lot of emails do. You would never do that in real life between two people, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's such a powerful tool. Even though our inboxes are crowded, it still remains the most powerful tool, the one with the highest, by long shot, the highest ROI. I read a great comment the other day who said, you know, oh, you know, it's all about Instagram or it's all about Facebook. But you know what? Guess what? You get your notifications about Facebook and Instagram where? In your inbox.
Yes.
Not. So at the end of the day, it's at the core of our communications today. And social media is hugely powerful. But at the end of the email marketing is at the core. And what people make a mistake of is and I understand why they do it. When they write, it becomes a bit awkward, it becomes a bit stiff, and it doesn't become relationship oriented. Mm-hmm. And that's the big, you know, and you can feel it when you read it. As a recipient of that kind of email, we all can feel that. Mm-hmm. That's why almost 90% of every email that either me or my team writes is going to be story-based, right? Because mm-hmm. that gets you out of that trap, right? Because you end up kind of bonding over a little, and the story can be two sentences long, right? A fun
yes.
little, you know, vignette. But that right off the bat sort of breaks the ice rather than just launching in and, hey, I've got a deal for you today kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's what I would recommend. And it's there is a little bit of a technique in doing that, you know, well, but it's a really kind of a tone and manner and, also understanding that sometimes you can send out emails that just talk about that don't sell anything. Every once in a while, it's good to do that. Just send complete content driven emails. It's like a gift that you give to people,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like a diary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then after that, well, people will feel closer to you and they feel that they know about you and they trust you, of course. So whenever you present something that is right on their alley or what they're looking for to solve a problem, well, they have more chances of wanting to buy from you if they know about you. And if you have decided to just push a sale each time and not necessarily establishing a relationship with a person, well, you might be very frustrated because people will not, I mean, complete a transaction. Or if they do, it will be a once in a lifetime and then you won't hear from them again.
You know, it's really interesting. Everything that you say, I totally agree with, because it's all about the best way to think about marketing is it's just like relationships, right?
Mm.
If you have someone in your life who's always asking you to do something for them, guess what? At a certain point, you know, you might be able to deal with it a few weeks or even a couple months. But at a certain point, you just say, you know what? I don't really want to be hanging around with this person because
mm-hmm.
it's a one-way street. And all the kind of rules of relationships, of good relationships, and of sort of also keeping up people's interests and all of that, it's very much mirrors a relationship, right? If you're mm-hmm. always in their face, guess what? People lose interest.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be a bit of intrigue, and you need to, you know, kind there needs to be a bit of mystery as well. And all those things that take place in sort of, you know, our real lives with our relationships apply to marketing in general, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a good way of looking at things, I think.
And since we're talking about marketing, you say that a lot of online entrepreneurs, they teach tactics instead of teaching strategies. So I want you to explain the difference between the two, and how should people be aware, or how can they be more careful about this when they have to deal with a company or deal with a consultant?
Yeah, I think that I thank you so much for bringing this topic up, because I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see is that people don't understand. I understand why they don't understand it, but they don't understand the whole system, right? They don't understand how all the pieces fit together. It's sort of like you get someone who say, oh, I can write the best webinar for you. And they probably can, but they don't always understand how that webinar fits into the whole process, the whole sort of sales process, right? Sales and the nurturing and the ongoing process. And I think that's the thing that I would say that people need to be a little bit more careful of, is that when they hire someone from the outside to help them, that even if you might be hiring them, I think it's one of the things that kind of helps me with my business and why my business has grown so much, is that, yeah, people come to me, the vast majority of people come to me for email marketing. But the reason they stick with me and everything is that I understand how the email marketing fits in with everything else. So it's a much more profound approach. And so it's not just one piece, because the problem is if you're just doing one piece, you end up doing tactics and you don't see the whole picture about where you want to go or where you want your clients to go. And you miss opportunities as well by just doing one tactic at a time. The problem is there aren't tons and tons of people, in my opinion, that really understand how all those pieces work together. So you have to kind of look through, you have to find people that understand how all those pieces work together.
Yeah. So we're talking, let's say, for sure about email marketing, but also the content that you deliver on your blog, let's say, or on social media. So they should all be related into like what you want to accomplish. Let's say if it's to launch your program, for example, well, everything that you're crafting either on your emails or the content that you're delivering on your blog or the social media posts, they all have to be related to your goal.
That's right. And they all, and you need to know how they work with each other. So for example, one of the things that I often do, is I will create a piece of content that people, that I drive people to with a Facebook ad, but I'm not asking them to do anything, right? Which is kind of like seems counterintuitive, but actually what I'm doing there is I'm building that first step of trust. And then I come back around either with some retargeting, or hopefully they've opted in and we do some email marketing to them. So it's a whole process of building trust and getting people to get to know the client through the different branches of marketing, but they all work together. Even email, I mean, there's some amazing things you can do now. So one of the things that I do a lot, this is kind of an advanced yoga move, if you will, but is that you know, so a lot of people, you don't know anymore where people are reading their stuff, right? So some people jump to their inbox. That's the first thing they do. Other people go to their Facebook newsfeed. So one of the things that I do for a lot of clients is we actually share the messaging that we're sending through their email inboxes. We also do we share that messaging in a retargeting campaign on Facebook, if that makes sense. So because we don't know, sometimes people, you need to understand that people are kind of not, they're not, we act like people, we talk about funnels and we talk about linear, the way people, you know, get our messages, but it's not linear, because as we just think of your own day. I read messages and I can't always remember where I've read them. Is it LinkedIn? Is it Facebook? Did I see it on Instagram? Did I see it in my inbox? You with me? There's just a lot going on. And so you just need to give your messages the best chance possible across the major platforms. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to be super, super granular, but that, if that makes sense, so that you have to also be a little bit creative about how you're setting up your strategy. And I think it's a mistake to assume that people they're not ducks in a row and they don't act in a linear way. And I've seen that over and over again. So you need to make sure that your messaging is coherent across platforms, but that you also even, people talk about repurposing, and they talk about it like, you know, you do videos and then you do audios and everything. Yes. But you also, there's a thing that you can message repurpose across platforms too. And it's something that people don't talk about that often. And that's got a ton of potential. And no, don't underestimate it either. I mean, one of the things, people have very short time span attentions, yes. right? Yes. And but I've written things and I've sent out messages a couple of years ago that people have come back to me in 2016 and say, hey, would you like to work with me? You with me? So mm-hmm. you also need to understand that it doesn't all happen in a nanosecond, no. right? And really, yeah. just like time relationships. Time, yes. You might have met someone 2 years ago that you think, hey, you know, I'd really like to pick up with them again yes. 2 years later because the time is better. So also, you know, it's important that there's that sort of temporal element and dimension that you don't just give up in 30 seconds, mm-hmm. Which is another big, big strategic mistake that people make. Yes. They just assume, oh, well, that one didn't work in 3 seconds. But it often you're planting seeds and you don't always know which tree is going to grow from those seeds.
Exactly. So it's the power of thinking ahead, the power of thinking, okay, so what am I doing today and how it's going to help to reach this and how it could be all related through the different platform.
Exactly. So that and all of those things I would categorize as strategies mm-hmm. versus
because yes. they're related
versus versus mm-hmm. saying I'm going to do a Facebook ad or, you know, and it's not that those tactics aren't powerful because they sure are, but they're infinitely more powerful if they're under a strategic umbrella.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I did, you know, for years and years. I worked with big, big companies like Lego and Nike. And that's what I was a strategist because I would look at their international communications. And now I brought it down to sort of the entrepreneurial level, which I find much more interesting. But, you know, I think it's important. And I think it also there's a real, I can't explain it, but I think it's just psychologically, I think it makes people feel much more grounded when they're yes. working with a nice strategy. Mm-hmm. You don't give up as easily, right? No. You're much more likely to be persevering if you know, you see the long run, the long picture.
Yeah, because you see picture. The big picture. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And now, Sue, what about content itself per se? Because you know how entrepreneurs are overwhelmed with content. They don't know what to write about. Like, they feel that sometimes they sit down and they try to write something and they don't have the inspiration, how frequently they should write and how to write about certain things. So I'm sure that there are certain aspects to respect about that content marketing. So do you mind giving them a few of them?
Sure. You know, I think, first of all, one of the things I would say is, what we're doing right now is one of the best forms of content. I think podcasting is a great, great form of content because it's live, it's unique, it's original, each interview is separate. It's great for the interviewer and the interviewee alike, I think. Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing I would say. Also, when it comes to blogs, you know, people, there is a content kind of overload thing happening now. So when you do create blog content, just make sure there are a lot of very creative, original ways that you can go about it. But what you want to try to avoid is being part of the echo chamber, right? Which is basically kind of going into Google, doing research on articles that have already been written and just sort of rewriting what's yeah. already been written before. Yeah. Yeah. Because the person who's writing it, the person who's researching it, and the person who's reading it have fatigue about all that.
Yeah.
And we don't need to we're kind of beyond that, but there are a lot of ways, you know, just getting podcasting's a great way. Another way is, you know, getting expert idea, you know, their opinions about a particular topic, gathering that together. one of the underestimated ways of doing content is curating it, right? Taking stuff that exists and just looking at it in a different way, mm-hmm. right? Taking mm-hmm. a topic and seeing what YouTube videos exist on it or what podcasts have been talked about, you know, and bringing it together with your own originality. So you're not actually having to create and write the content, but you're just bringing those threads of thought together in a new way. That's another possibility for people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If that's helpful.
Yeah, and that's very helping because again, I'm sure it takes some pressure off the shoulders of some people, like wondering what should I do about that content. I know that you created something called the Fusion Marketing Formula, and it's your own creation. So not necessarily with giving like all the details about it, but in a few words, explain what's the idea under it.
I've actually sort of touched on it during some of these other questions.
Okay.
Like, because but basically the fusion marketing is basically looking at a lot of the things that we just talked about, right? So it's how, it's like a circle where you start with sharing free content, both with your email list as well as people that aren't on your list already. It's about how, and like I said, what I do is with that piece of free content, I drive people to that piece of content via paid social media ads, whether it's Facebook. It's normally Facebook, but it can also be Twitter or LinkedIn ads.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then what I do is I simply retarget those people who have read that piece, because what they're telling me by reading that piece is that they're interested in that
exactly.
topic.
Yeah.
And then I invite them into my list and I court them, if you will, through my email marketing. Email marketing that drives it. But I use the tools of Facebook, retargeting, and just basic content to kind of, that's sort of my business card, my calling card, and I do this for a lot of clients, and it's really, really works really well, and it's huge ROI. It's like, it's,
yes.
I've had people, it's just it's huge, because what you're basically doing is you're not saying, I want something from you right away. You're giving, you know, it has to be high quality content that really sort of brings people into your fold and gets them interested in what you have to say.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because you're giving to people that raise their hand already and say, I'm so interested in what you have to share with me.
Right. And there are going to be a lot of people who read that piece of content that don't come into your email list.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you know what? Maybe the fourth or fifth piece of content, they're going to say, wow, this person, this business has really a lot of interesting things to say. I want to explore further. I'm going to sign up and get whatever the lead magnet is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's combining different tools in a very strategic way, in not a terribly orthodox way, to build your list and to build relationships. See, one of the things that I think people make a mistake of, their end point is the wrong end point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people think the end point is getting tons and tons of leads, right?
Yeah.
And then they have all these leads, and they have all this list, and they're afraid to talk to them. They don't do the email marketing, or they don't do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
There's another group of people who think the end point is sales, right?
Yeah.
Up, I'm going to get them to buy. And the minute they pull out their credit card, it's like, you know, it's like crickets. These people never hear from them again, right? Because they don't. And see, I believe that it's like a relationship. You don't have a party with someone and then just say, I'm not going to talk to you for 8 months. It just
yeah.
doesn't work like that. You call them up and you say, how are you doing? And you ask them their opinion about things, and you try to make it a two-way dialogue, and you share stuff, right?
True.
That's what you do. That's what email marketing lets you do. You can do surveys and polls and all kinds of things to get so that you have a conversation.
Exactly.
It's not a one-way. It's the one place. I mean, social media, you can do this to a certain extent, but one-on-one, it's the one place where you can have a dialogue with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as possible, that's what people should be doing.
Hmm. So Sue, if people want to know more about you, where should they go online?
A couple things. You can friend me on Facebook. I'm under Sue Rice. You can also go directly to my website. There's a form there if you on the or my about page and on my contact page, where you can just send me a note and I'll get back to you. And that URL is slice.international, not .com, .international. Because if you put the .com in there, it won't work. But and the reason I name my company that is I feel like a lot of people are running around in circles. And so my whole thing is to slice through all the confusion and get to the core and get results and do it in the simplest, straightest, streamlined way possible.
I love that. You know that people are going to remember you just because of what you just said.
Yeah, well, you know, the slice is important. It's so, so important.
It is.
People are running around. And I think it's partly because they're obsessed with all these tactics and everything. But there's actually an easier way.
Yeah.
One of the things I learned, I don't use this that often, but I am an Infusionsoft certified consultant. I did it because I felt like it was important for me to understand sort of the technical underpinnings of email marketing. Mm-hmm. And I've been an Infusionsoft certified partner for several years now. And when I was trained with them, this stuck out so much in my mind. He said, you know, you can go, and I know a lot of people find Infusionsoft confusing, so you might find this a bit ironic that I'm telling this story, but what the guy said to me is he said, you know, there are a lot of different ways to go from point A to point B, but the best way to start is to do the simplest way. So whenever I work with clients, that's what I try to do, is let's go from point A to point B in the simplest, the fewest steps possible, and then we can always add stuff. But that, you know, slice through to the end and make it as simple as possible.
Yeah. All right, Sue, thank you so much for such a beautiful interview. Thanks. And so interesting and full of energy. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care, Fabian.
This is the type of interview that you have to keep in your archives and come back to it and listen to it whenever you feel that you need it. Because this content will never die, and that's what I love about podcasting. So if you are not connected to me yet, well, I invite you to join me on Instagram, instagram.com/FabienneRaphael. That's FabienneRaphael. And I try to share that there some unique content that you won't get on my other social media platforms. So I'm looking forward to connect with you on Instagram, and I totally wish that your week is awesome and that you're crushing it in your business. So I'll see you next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.